Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, not joined by Craig Mish today. He did not make it into the office today, had something come up. So you guys are here with me. Beautiful day, across the United States. We got the sun coming out, and a great night in the association last night. Also have lots of spring training stuff to cover, starting with a wild game between the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers continue on their skid. They gave some guys the night off before the All-Star break. They, of course, are without Anthony Davis. Kyle Kuzma did not play. And a lot of fantasy owners were counting on Dennis Schroeder last night. He was not able to get it done against the Phoenix Suns. 17 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. LeBron James continues his campaign for MVP. Although, as we have talked about on the show, we are still wondering about that MVP campaign as, Nikola Jokic is performing on these performances that are similarly great to LeBron James, but the Nuggets keep winning games while the Lakers keep losing. Bringing in my buddy now, Michael Blewett, here on the performance. Where are you at on the Nikola Jokic versus LeBron James MVP race? Right now, LeBron trading down on the FanDuel Sportsbook at about plus 190. I continue to think that if the Nuggets are able to get to that 4 seed, Blewett, Jokic should win MVP.
I think it's pretty interesting, right? Because we have a Utah Jazz team that is at the top of the standings, yet nobody can single one player out to be part of the MVP race. LeBron has sort of been on a campaign, obviously, to prove his worth in the league. It's always good for somebody to have a motivator, right, Davis? But when he says things like, I want my damn respect, and is out there playing every game in a regular season that everybody would concede to him and everyone, doesn't really matter because the Lakers will just be there at the end anyway. You wonder why he's doing it. He's taking his first game off tonight of the season. But I'm with you. I think Jokic is the guy that you can find some value in and has an opportunity to push the Nuggets to another level. Now, I did say last night when I was on In Game Live with Dane Martinez that if you are somebody that's regularly betting the Nuggets this season in the NBA, you are a psychopath because they have been a wildly erratic team. They come up with a blowout against the Bucks last night, but we have seen them lose games that they shouldn't. I think they are one of the teams that has been negatively impacted, perhaps, by the long stay in the bubble and then the shortened preseason. It's led to some erratic performances.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Continuing through some of our news updates here, Fernando Tatis hit a grand slam in spring training. Also, we're not going to see very many of these headlines because in spring training, when your pitcher gets to 20 pitches in an inning, you can just call it, right? 7-inning games, you can call it whenever you want. It's kind of interesting to evaluate all of these performances from Fernando Tatis because He has not even played 162 games at the major league level yet. So obviously we love to see, you know, just more sample size coming from him, you know, sign that gigantic contract, the 14-year, $320 million contract for Fernando Tatis. The AAA season is going to be delayed for Major League Baseball. I actually think this is a huge update, and it was kind of expected, but that season being delayed, if I was running a Major League Baseball team, and obviously, you know, I'm definitely one of the people that absolutely hates when Major League Baseball owners cry poor. I mean, what is the reason for Wando Franco to start the season, quote-unquote start the season in AAA, or Jared Kelenic to start the season in AAA, when they're not even going to be playing games? I mean, Blewett, do you think there's any chance that the AAA season getting delayed gets some of these top prospects up and playing in Major League Baseball early? I hope the answer is yes.
I do think the answer is yes. And also, as we saw with the Mariners situation recently, it was, we already knew what the truth was, Davis, about them holding players back for the benefit of the organization to the detriment of the player. But to have somebody say it in no uncertain terms really put the other Major League Baseball teams in a more difficult spot in terms of how they were lying to the public. Now, it's just an over-the-top blatant lie that is screwing the players. I think they're going to have no choice in several instances other than to promote the player before they otherwise would have.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that Kelenic is probably the best example of this because the Mariners have this huge need for them, right? If you look at what the Mariners have sitting there in the outfield right now, they are going to be giving full-time plate appearances to guys like Jake Fraley, who is, you know, just a total, like, he's a prospect himself, but they've already started his clock, and that's the only reason he's up. They have guys like Shed Long Jr. and Brandon Bishop on the bench. I mean, if you've been watching any of these highlights of Jared Kelenic, the Mariners developmental Twitter, I don't know why this exists. Why does the Mariners developmental pipeline have its own Twitter? They posted Kelenic taking batting practice the other day, and just the sound coming off that dude's bat. It's like, this guy's going to come up in the major leagues, hit 300 right away, going to be roping bombs. I mean, he just looks fantastic, and there's no reason to not come him up. And Major League Baseball is now competing with so many different things for attention. It really does just make no sense for him not to be up. So we are going to be heading into break here soon on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay tuned for our fantasy standouts from the NBA last night, our MLB win total of the Oakland Athletics. That's the team we are going to be hitting on today. Our either or for NFBC ADP, a preview of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Heading into break. See you guys in just a few moments on the other side.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back.
everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today. As always, in our second segment here on the show, we go through our NBA standouts from the prior night. I'm joined by Mike Blewett today, and then we also bring in our producer, Brett Levy, here on the show to discuss our fantasy standouts. And of course, we have to start with the man himself, Nikola Jokic, 37 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, second ever center to have 50 career triple doubles, ninth player in NBA history. And, you know, depending on how long Nikola Jokic plays, he looks like he's in pretty good shape out there, Brett. He's lost some weight, adding some muscle to that frame. I mean, what more hyperbole can we throw on Nikola Jokic, who is just putting the Denver Nuggets on his back this year?
Yeah, Jokic is amazing, Davis. I know we've spoken who will get 15 retired first in Denver, Jokic or Carmelo, but Jokic is doing everything he can to make sure that it's him. He became the second center behind Wilt Chamberlain to do that, and only the ninth player ever. So he is clearly doing things unprecedented for big men at that position. He shoots the three. His defense has improved this year, and Denver goes as he goes. So they need him to keep playing well. They'd like some of their other draft picks to start picking it up a little bit, I think, Davis. But Jokic is the rock that makes it go. And obviously Blewett was talking about him as an MVP caliber player in the first segment. I totally agree with that, as we've been talking about in the last few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And another star young player in the association, Ja Morant. I have the feeling, Blewett, that we are going to be litigating Ja Morant versus Zion Williamson for their entire careers. That's just human nature and how we do these rookies that come into the league together. But Ja Morant, 35, 10, and 5, got to the free throw line, shot 14 free throws last night against the Wizards, who were just overmatched. I mean, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are doing their best, and 15 assists for Russell Westbrook last night. But the Memphis Grizzlies, led by Ja Morant, what do we think their ceiling is in terms of the Western Conference this year? How high do we think that they can climb right now? They are 16-15 right now, which is, you know, pretty solid for them. Are you a big Ja Morant guy, Blewett?
Absolutely. You know, anytime you're talking about the litigation of Zion versus Ja Morant, as a Knicks fan, and I was talking about this on air last night, it's a bummer that those two went, and I'm trying to figure out how good RJ Barrett can be, right? What his ceiling is going to be. And you realize that even if RJ Barrett gets to sort of his ceiling, it's probably not going to be anywhere in the range of Ja and Zion. So I think you're right. As far as their ceiling is concerned, you know, we're still dealing with that Denver Nuggets team that's only a couple of games in front of them in the conference standings. And we think that they have an opportunity to at least challenge the success that they had last year. We're still dealing with the Clippers and the Lakers and the Jazz. So how far can they get? I think it's just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation where I think Ja can take over a series and win it. But is he going to be able to do it several rounds into the playoffs? I think it'd be really difficult because they'll end up running into one of the LA teams or the Jazz. Always stands for an upset. I just don't know that they're deep enough 1-8 in a playoff rotation to knock off multiple teams in a postseason.
Yeah, flipping over to, you know, the team that theoretically should be sitting atop the standings. I mean, I think that the Los Angeles Clippers roster is actually better than the Lakers roster, 1-10, Brett. But no Kawhi George, ruled out after DFS lock time last night. So if you're playing there on FanDuel, you got stuck with an unfortunate Kawhi Leonard situation. He doesn't play. Now, Reggie Jackson actually went 10-14 from the field, hit 5 three-pointers, 25 points, 7 assists with the Clippers playing their three-guard lineup, giving Lou Williams 22 minutes off the bench. But Paul George, 32 points, took 26 shots last night, Brett. And finally, the Boston Celtics win what I think is a must-win game, getting them above 500. This has to be factored in as a pretty disappointing loss for the Clippers, even without Kawhi Leonard and with Paul George having this strong game.
Yeah, well, I mean, really what's happened over the last three games is Kemba Walker has found his groove a little bit, Davis. And I'm a Kemba guy. I worked with him for a year, so I'm happy to see all his hard work is paying off. But that's what I think has helped the Celtics team, really. So I really do think this is more about the Celtics and the Clippers, again, without Kawhi. I think the Celtics coming out there and winning a big game and showing some toughness and beating a team that a lot of us think are pretty good really, you know, maybe cools Brad Stevens for a week, take some of the pressure off them. And Kemba Walker keeps playing well. That'll help solidify the point guard spot, which has been Jeff Teague and Peyton Pritchard at different points this season. So Kemba's a former All-Star. He's a great player. He's a team leader. And to see him kind of get it rolling over the last three games, that's good to see for Boston.
Definitely. So big win for the shorthanded San Antonio Spurs right now. They are, every week it feels like a different team is dealing with the health and protocol stuff that goes on. You know, guys are missing time, and, you know, Kevin Durant had to miss time. It's happened to a bunch of teams, right? The Raptors are another team that it's happening to right now. Fred VanVleet ruled out. Their centers are all ruled out, so they're finally starting Chris Boucher at center. But the Spurs beat the New York Knicks, who finally got to 500 or above 500. They're back to 500. Weird game, though, from DeMar DeRozan. Only scored 10 points, only took five shots, but blew it. DeRozan has kind of reinvented his game as he has lost a little bit of that bounce from his knees. 11 assists, only needed Dejounte Murray to play 31 minutes. Now, Dejounte Murray did take 16 shots. Lonnie Walker took 14 more shots than points. Have we kind of forgotten about the Spurs in the Western Conference race with all of this attention, obviously, on the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz are blowing everyone out of the water? Like, where are you at on this Spurs team?
I think this is a sort of a classic Pop team, right, in that he can extract a little bit more results out of what maybe the totality of the talent of the roster is. They're still going to have challenges in the Western Conference. But to your point, like, DeRozan didn't really have to push very hard last night. I think he is somebody that is developing a mid-range game that isn't as popular these days, but he can be a really valuable piece. I think he's becoming almost a more complete player in some ways as he gets older. And advancing his skill set. So I can appreciate that out of DeRozan. I would also note, though, that the Knicks were done in the second half last night. I watched most of that game, and I equate it to, this is like when you've taken a few of your finals at the end of the first semester of high school or college, Davis, and people know that the All-Star break is coming up, i.e. winter break, and you're just kind of done. You don't really feel like studying anymore. The effort is toast. The Knicks have one more game before they're off, and I think last night they were just kind of mentally spent. They've had a good first half. They'll look towards the second half, but they were mentally spent. They have the Pistons tomorrow night at MSG.
Yeah, I think the Miami Heat are another team that happened
to. I totally agree.
80 points against the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, that's embarrassing. Jimmy Butler or no Jimmy Butler, they shot 37% from the floor. They shot 27% from three. Tyler Herro had basically his worst game of the season. Kendrick Nunn went 3-for-12 from the floor. Bam Adebayo scored only 11 points. I mean, the Hawks don't even get to 100 points, and they yeah. cruise to a victory here. And, you know, I think we probably, if you want to give yourself some trends and some narrative to bet on here, this is the Atlanta Hawks first game without head coach Lloyd Pierce. Nate McMillan takes command. And, you know, Trae Young, I think, kind of took that moment upon himself, only shot 12 times. Kevin Huerter got up more shot attempts. Danilo Gallinari shot 7 times off the bench. Bogdan Bogdanovic played his first game of the season, you know, only made 2 shots. But I think getting Bogdan Bogdanovic is going to be absolutely massive for the Hawks if they are going to try and make the playoffs. So we are wrapping up our end.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your area jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
NBA discussion here on the show. When we come back from break, we are going to move into our MLB win totals discussion, moving to the Oakland Athletics, and then our NFBC either or heading into break. See you guys in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined today by Mike Blewett. Craig Mish and I, my normal co-hosts, have been running through MLB win totals. We've gone through, I think, about 10 teams at this point. And now moving to one of my pet teams today, Mike Blewett. You know, for those of us who have grinded Major League Baseball since the days when, you know, FanDuel counted strikeouts as negative points, some of these kids these days, they don't even remember what those games were like. Yeah, they don't know. The Athletics have been...
They should get an unpaid internship, Davis. They should get an unpaid internship to learn the ways of the old school baseball guys, and then they'd really
they don't even know. Back when, to get lineups, you had to go to baseballpress.com. You know, nowadays you load up your fantasy baseball site and the starting lineup is confirmed for you. I mean, they just have no idea what it was like for us all the way back in 2014. So we are.
I had alarm set on my phone to get to Baseball Press to make sure I knew who was in and out of the lineups if I had a daily change.
Yeah. So, I mean, the A's have had a lot of great players now. They are also a team that is very conscientious of their payroll, despite the fact that they are a Major League Baseball team that earns $1 million of revenue a year. And I think they have a very interesting team. I think they also play in a fascinating division, because you look at the AL West, the Angels, the Astros, the Athletics, the Mariners, and the Rangers, really the only team that you consider a huge contender for the World Series is going to be the Astros. But in a way, I kind of like the Oakland Athletics roster better. If you look at their starting lineup, they have Ramon Laureano, Mark Canha, Mark Chapman, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, Mitch Moreland, Stephen Piscotty. They no longer have Marcus Semien. He is now a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. And then their nine-hole hitter at second base is either going to be Chad Pinder or Tony Kemp, depending on the starting pitcher that they are facing that day. Blewett, what's most interesting about the A's is they had a number of guys who were awful last year, and they were awful for a couple different reasons. Matt Chapman was all the way down at a .335 weighted on-base average. He did hit 10 home runs, didn't steal any bases, but his strikeout rate, because he was dealing with a hip injury that basically made him immobile, his career strikeout rate is 24%. He struck out on 35% of his plate appearances last year. if Matt Chapman plays to his projection, which if we look at our friend Derek Carty's the bat projection, has him at a 343 weighted on base average, a 25% strikeout rate. I think, you know, him hitting numbers, you know, he's in the three hole here for the Oakland Athletics, I think is going to be a gigantic boon to them. Are you an Oakland Athletics optimist, Mike? Do you like this lineup?
I would say so, because you got to figure they went 36-24 last year, and that is with the struggles that you're talking about. I think it is always, when you're playing any fantasy sport, it is really important, and it's the biggest piece of advice I can give to people is when you're going into your draft prep is to make sure that you look at the previous season's draft prep, because invariably, Davis, in regardless of what the sport is, you are going to find players that were well projected and for one reason or another did not perform well. 2020 baseball season is the biggest anomaly we've seen, a truncated season and players dealing with, as you said, all different types of ailments. Chapman dealing with a hip issue. It was conceivably possible that a guy would be slumping for really the majority of that truncated season, and what would be a normal baseball season, they could have an opportunity to come out of that slump and put up relatively similar numbers to what we projected, but they just didn't have that opportunity. They couldn't pull out of a 40-game slump and then put up numbers because the season was over. And Chapman is one of those guys. I think you can expect him to go back to 2019 production or close to it. There's obviously some changes in the lineup here, but Chapman is probably, look, in the fantasy baseball set, we know him really well. But in terms of recognition by casual baseball fans, right, he's probably amongst the most underrated players in the entire league.
Yeah, so I'm with you 100%. In my drafts thus far, like, I'm pretty much throwing out 2020, and for a couple of different reasons. The first is, and we talked about this on the show yesterday, some of these guys, like, contracted COVID. Yoan Moncada for the White Sox, actually a great example. Mm-hmm. Like, he had COVID, had horrible symptoms, said it ruined his conditioning for basically the entire year, and he just really was not able to play up to his standard, like really not even close to it. And I think that's a huge part of it. We also don't have good data on the ball they were using last year. We don't know how it compares to the 2019 super fun happy ball era where, you know, everyone was hitting 30 home runs. Guys who would normally hit 40 home runs were hitting 50. The ball was just flying out of the ballpark. We had three home run games happening left, right, and center. It was one of the most ridiculous years in Major League Baseball history. Now, the Athletics are a team that was at a huge disadvantage in that season, in that 2019 season, because of the ballpark they play at and the division they play at. You know, I mean, look at that division. Angels, huge ballpark. Astros, gigantic outfield. The Athletics stadium is probably the most pitcher-friendly stadium in all of baseball. Now, 2019 was the last year of a hitter-friendly Rangers stadium, but then the Mariners ballpark, also a huge pitcher haven. So if you look at that ballpark and then you look at the way that other teams in the American League East, for example, huge benefits there for those really top heavy lineups in a pitcher friendly ballpark. And I think we've already basically, it has been communicated to us that the MLB is deadening the ball. They are going to be not using the super fun happy time ball. They are going back to kind of the normal 2018 ball. And I think that's going to be a huge benefit for the A's, because it'll put them on an even footing with the rest of baseball in terms of a competitive advantage with their lineup. And their starting pitching group, you know, Jesus Luzardo, Frankie Montas, Sean Manaea, I mean, Mike Fiers, these are guys who get crushed by the home run. Mike Fiers is one of the all-time examples of a guy who just got murdered when home runs started flying out of the ballpark because he relies so much on deception. And you can spot the outliers in his career, right? 2017, huge home run to fly ball outlier. 2019, huge home run to fly ball outlier. So I'm super high on the Athletics pitching staff. Chris Bassitt, really strong ground baller. Jesus Luzardo, you know, formerly one of the top prospects in baseball. Frankie Montas, he's on the COVID-19 list right now. He's another guy who struggled with home runs. Do you share my optimism on the starting pitching rotation for the Oakland Athletics?
I do. And I'll freely admit that every once in a while, there's a player that, regardless of what other people start to think, you can't quit. Sean Manaea is that player for me. I'm a fan. I think he has an opportunity to kind of bounce back for an entire season here. I'm with you. I think this is a really good roster. There's a reason they won the American League West last year. This wasn't all smoke and mirrors because of the shortened season. They have good players. They have solid pitching. Can their bullpen hold up all the way, get the ball to Trevor Rosenthal on a regular basis? That remains to be seen. But when we start talking about top to bottom and some of the ways in which they underperformed and we're still 12 games over 500 in the abbreviated set, I'm in. I think I like this team. Clearly the Astros can challenge them in some ways, but the Astros really couldn't even get out of their own way until October last year, right?
Right. So I'm with you. I think I like this A's team better than the Astros. And a big reason is, and this will always be near and dear to my heart, if people remember those 2014 and 2015 Kansas City Royals teams, they had a good offense. They were scrappy. They had decent starting pitching, but they never lost a game. In 2014 and 2015, the Royals lost two games where they had a lead heading into the seventh inning. Having a strong bullpen is one of the biggest advantages that you can generate in baseball right now. And this A's bullpen is nasty. Trevor Rosenthal, basically the best closer in baseball when he's healthy. Jake Diekman, super elite setup man. He's a left-hander. Then against super right-heavy lineups, they have Sergio Romo that they can bring in. Yusmeiro Petit, one of the best long men in baseball. I mean, up and down their bullpen, they have super capable guys. And that is not even mentioning A.J. Puk, formerly one of the top prospects in baseball, a number one overall pick in 2016. He has a future value estimation by FanGraphs of being like a 60 future value guy. In limited appearances in Major League Baseball thus far, he's thrown up a 3.18 ERA. Our friend Derek Carty has him projected for a 3.48 ERA, generating over a strikeout and a half per inning. Are you like me, a bullpen devotee, Blewett? Are you like, I just love to bet on teams with strong bullpens.
Of course. I'm a Yankees fan for a long period of time, and going back to all of the successes that they had 20 years ago, it was because of the bullpen and not just Mariano Rivera. There were other key pieces there. I think that has continued to be the case, especially in current day baseball where we are not going long with starters. It's important to be able to hand the ball to different guys and get it to your closer. Like you said, Rosenthal is dominant. They have all these other guys that can pitch in. Their win totals at 86.5. I feel really good about it. I don't know if it's my top bet on the board, but amongst American League teams, over 86.5 feels good to me. I would not be surprised at all if this was a 90-win team.
Yeah, over 86.5 for me is going to be the bet as well. I don't love to bet overs on win totals for teams that don't spend money, because one thing you have to think about when making these season-long props for Major League Baseball is, okay, what does this team do at the trade deadline? Are they buying guys out? Are they the team, you know, sending the player to be named later for a closer? Are they the team adding bullpen help? Are they the team replacing their injured guys? And the A's, it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, we do think of them, obviously, as a super strong front office from the Moneyball days. I mean, they are going to make decisions that make the most amount of sense for their on-field roster. But also, they're not a team like the New York Yankees. I mean, the Yankees will go out and spend whatever money they need to add talent to the team at the trade deadline. So I'm going over, but it's not a bet in the house. We're going into break now, and we'll be returning with our NFBC either or in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or, eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com Download the app or install the browser extension. That's RAKUTEN. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back from break here on Sports Grid TV. You are watching Fantasy Sports Today with Davis Maddock and Mike Blewett. Craig Mish couldn't join us today. It's all right. We're going to head to our NFBC ADP either or now. So what we've been doing on the show is we just run through position by position. We compare two guys with a very similar ADP in the NFBC, which is where all serious fantasy baseball players play. Starting out with starting pitching today, very interesting what's happening, Blewett, in the NFBC this year. People are treating starting pitchers like running backs, basically, in fantasy football, where a lot of guys who are pretty questionable are getting pushed up the board. You know, their ADPs to me kind of seem off by a round, where guys like Kenta Maeda and guys like Blake Snell, who we are going to be taking a look at today, their NFBC ADPs, Blake Snell goes at 49, Kenta Maeda goes at 50. Very similar guys in terms of projections. Right now with Kenta Maeda, the big boon for him is just going to be innings. He is projected for 170 innings, a 3.73 ERA. Last year, he was unreal, absolutely lights out for the Twins, a 2.70 ERA, a 0.75 whip, more than a strikeout per inning. Blake Snell was similarly lights out last season for the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, he only pitched 50 innings, but he generated a 3.24 ERA, 11.3 strikeouts per nine innings. And, you know, the projections are pretty bullish on him for a couple different reasons. First, I definitely think that projection systems are going to be giving him more innings this year now that he's not a member of the Tampa Bay Rays. And they're factoring in that huge boost that he's going to get pitching in Petco Park, which is, you know, other than the Oakland A's, which we talked about in the last segment, you know, kind of the best situation you're going to find for starting pitching. So either or, you're on the clock. You've made the decision that you're taking the dive into starting pitching early. Are you going Blake Snell or Kenta Maeda?
Personally, I think Snell is the more talented of the two. You make a really good, compelling argument in terms of the ballpark. But if I'm looking at some negatives, he now does switch leagues. He switches teams. Is there going to be a lack of comfort in that? He's going to have to pitch in Colorado at least a couple of times and go up against the Dodgers a bunch of times during the year. So is that enough to sell me off of Snell? I think the more comfortable pick is Maeda. Snell is the riskier pick. But when we're talking NFBC, it's go big or go home. I think in this instance, this format, I'm going to have to go with Snell as the more talented pitcher for me.
So I'm with you on Snell as well, for a couple different reasons. The first is I actually think that Snell is going to pitch more innings than Kenta Maeda, which I think is a controversial stance. But if you look at the Twins rotation, it makes more sense for them to have a six-man rotation than it does for the Padres. They have Jose Berríos, Kenta Maeda, Michael Pineda, Jay Happ, Matt Shoemaker. But then you look at their minor leaguers, and then you look at their bullpen. They have Lewis Thorpe, Devin Smeltzer. Both of those guys can be stretched out. And then, you know, if you take a look at their bullpen, they have some long guys like Randy Dobnak and Jorge Alcala. Both of those guys should get to, you know, probably 100 innings pitched as opposed to 50. So I think that not only does Snell have the strikeout upside over Kenta Maeda, his strikeout rates are just going to be better than Kenta Maeda's will be, but I think that you are also probably going to get more innings pitched from Blake Snell. And you want the innings, you want the strikeouts. So I think Snell wins on both accounts. So we are both in agreement there on our first either or. Next up, moving to an infielder situation. And this is a deep dive. We are going now into the 300s. And don't get me wrong, you have to make these selections. I mean, these selections are super important. And these are going to be kind of your league-winning style choices. So we have Scott Kingery, the Philadelphia Phillies second baseman. We'll also probably get some plays at other infield spots there. And then Colton Wong for the Brewers. For me, this one is not particularly close. I am a longtime Colton Wong homer. He is now playing in an even better ballpark. He's moved away from the St. Louis Cardinals, is now playing for the Milwaukee Brewers. He was not particularly great last year, hit .265, only one home run and five steals. But I think that Colton Wong is the perfect selection for many of the ways that I construct my teams. The Bat X has him for 10 home runs, 571 plate appearances, 15 steals, only a strikeout rate of 15%, a .262 batting average. I mean, Kingery is a guy who I think could not only kill you in batting average, I actually don't see him getting to that many plate appearances because of the options that are on the bench for the Philadelphia Phillies. Not only do they have Brad Miller sitting there, but they also have some minor leaguers who I think could take some time away from him as well. And I think he's going to have a horrible batting order spot. I think that for the Brewers, I think that we could see Colton Wong lead off some of the time. And in fact, he's right now penciled in as their leadoff hitter on day one. So this one, not particularly close to me. I'm a huge Colton Wong guy. I've actually invested in some of his rookie cards in on starstock.com. So I'm a big Colton Wong guy, Blewett.
Yeah, I can't argue with anything that you said. I aligned with you on that. The one thing that Kingery is going to provide, now dependent on format here, right? The one thing that Kingery could conceivably provide to you is some positional flexibility in certain leagues, but on the whole, you're comparing these two players and you're slotting somebody in for infielder depth or potentially to rack up stats for you. I think it's Wong going away. I don't think it's particularly close for all the reasons that you mentioned. They're being drafted closely, but I think people, frankly, Davis, get a little bit lazy as things move a little bit deeper through drafts. They don't analyze them as efficiently as they should when it's earlier in the draft. And the irony is, and you and I have been doing this for a long time, it really should be the other way. It's kind of easy to pick the people at the top of the draft where they slot into their ADPs, right? Because you have a lot of groupthink there that's going to generally have the good players in the same order. As you get a little bit deeper into these and you're trying to figure out, do I pick Tommy La Stea or do I pick Colton Wong or Scott Kingery? Those are the types of things you have to look at, and doing that kind of homework that you just walked everybody through is important to get the better player, somebody that can contribute long-term as opposed to somebody like Kingery that could be on and off various rosters throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, this is that's you make a brilliant point, Blue, which is like the kind of content that gets clicks and that seems more appealing on social media and things like that. It's debating between first round picks. Do I take Francisco Lindor or Adalberto Mondesi? And we see this in fantasy football too. It's actually even more of a problem in fantasy football. In fantasy baseball, people who play fantasy baseball tend to get more into the nuts and bolts, but in fantasy football it'll be, oh, do I take Zeke or Jonathan Taylor? Do I take Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara, right? Those tend to be the discussions that generate the most content. So I'm totally with you. You know, these late round picks are super important, and getting late round picks is what's going to win you your league. Like that is just true. Every fantasy sport, fantasy cricket, right? Getting your late round picks right is just going to end up being what is most important. All right, our final either or. We have Raimel Tapia, the probably leadoff hitter for the Colorado Rockies, versus Brandon Nimmo, who is also going to be the leadoff hitter for the New York Mets. And Nimmo is a guy who he just gets disrespected in fantasy baseball. Looking at his career averages, he's a career .258 hitter, 8 home runs in each of the last two seasons, over about 250 plate appearances in each of those. If you go back to 2018, Brandon Nimmo generated 33 offensive WAR with a .385 weighted on-base average, a .148 weighted runs created plus, a .219 ISO, 17 home runs and 9 steals and 535 plate appearances. And so if you're just looking on what they have done so far, I think it's clearly Nimmo. However, Tapia has a few things going in his favor. The first is, obviously, he's a leadoff hitter in Coors Field. It is the best offensive environment in baseball. He has also been an above-average hitter in his career in terms of weighted on-base average, not in terms of weighted runs created plus. He also is going to offer you a big surplus in steals. 8 steals in only 51 games last year, 9 steals in 447 plate appearances in 2019 with 9 home runs. I think Nimmo, clearly the better hitter. I don't think there is any debate that if you stuck these guys both in a neutral ballpark, had them face the same pitchers in the same order over the course of the year, you would rather take Nimmo. But Tapia does have the huge advantage of Coors Field. Which direction are you going here, Raimel Tapia or Brandon Nimmo, leadoff hitter for the New York Mets?
It seems crazy that you would not pick the Rockies player here for somebody to get that many at-bats in that ballpark. You would just assume is going to rack up some numbers. But we're also dealing with the dynamic of Nolan Arenado no longer being there, Davis. This team is clearly in a crater situation where they're rebuilding. They're building the whole thing back up. So how many run-scoring opportunities would Tapia have that he would have otherwise had if Arenado was there? Like, you're gutting that team from its core and its ability to produce runs. They will not be at the bottom of the league just by way of being in Colorado. But for me, it's closer, I think, than the other two for me. The Maeda-Snell thing is close, but I had a clear choice there. You could talk me into Tapia, but again, I'm just going to lean towards Nimmo. I think you're right. He gets disrespected. And this is a Mets team that may finally be competing for something realistically. I live in New York, and I know how unrealistic both baseball fan bases can be at times. But the Mets have made some obviously clear changes in the organization and added some players. Yes, they've missed out in free agency big in a couple of instances, but it's not like they haven't made moves. Adding Lindor to that lineup is clearly going to help. I'll go with Nimmo here. This is the closest debate of the three because it's a leadoff hitter in Colorado. That's worth a lot. He could put up big numbers just by way of that. But I don't know that the run scoring opportunities will be there in 2021 in the way that they should have been.
So, yeah, I am going to go off brand here. I am going to take Brandon Nimmo. I am going to go away from the Coors Field hitter. It's probably like the first time in my entire existence in fantasy baseball where I have gone away from the Coors Field guy. I mean, if you look at this Rockies roster, if some of these young guys disappoint, they are just going to be in a brutal spot because they have Tapia leading off. Then obviously we know Story and Blackman, they're going to be great, right? They're going to hit yeah. 310. They're going to hit home runs. They're going to be good. But we really haven't seen anything out of Ryan McMahon. I think that CJ Cron is really good, but how many teams have given up on him at this point? The Angels have given up on him. The Tigers have given up on him. He is a huge strikeout guy. Sam Hilliard, again, is a guy that former top prospect, but has shown nothing at their Major League Baseball level. Brandon Rogers, same thing. The Rockies catcher position has been a black hole for as long as I can remember. They basically have the worst catching platoon in Major League Baseball, and that is even with these guys taking their plate appearances in Colorado. And another thing that we didn't discuss, the pitchers that they are going to be facing in Colorado, even in Colorado, they're going to be facing the Dodgers. They're going to be facing the Padres. They are going to be facing the D-backs, who have a strong rotation. They're going to be facing the Giants, who have a strong rotation. So it's not going to be cake matchups for a lot of these hitters. So I'm going to go with Brandon Nimmo, projected to be a really strong outfielder, should get 15 home runs, should get 6 stolen bases. I think that Brandon Nimmo, he is being underrated by the batting average. So we are going to go ahead and head into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we are moving to our NBA game of the night, and Blue and I are going to make our picks against the spread for the Utah Jazz at the 76ers. See you guys in a few seconds.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by Mike Blewett. Our final segment here at the bottom of the hour, we always do our NBA game of the night. Huge game with the Utah Jazz. Not a sentence I thought that I would be saying a ton over the course of the 2020-2021 NBA season, but the Jazz have become a mainstay here of our game of the night. The Utah Jazz are playing at the 76ers. They are road favorites. Should be pretty healthy on both teams. Joel Embiid was able to play the other night. He's been dealing on and off with a small knee injury. Ben Simmons, good to go. Mike Conley is going to be playing in this game. Utah is favored by 3 on the road. The total for this game is 227. Huge game for the 76ers. They right now are atop the Eastern Conference. Again, not a spot that many people thought they would be. Where are we going on this game? Do you like the side total, anything here, Blewett? Do you see either of these as bettable?
Yeah, really interesting one. And, you know, Jazz just dropped their last game to the Pels the other night. So I would say that right now my lean is towards the Sixers. The totals last night in the NBA were all over the map. And I think it's a result of what we were talking about, where it's getting close to the All-Star break and teams, I think, are a little spent. So I'm not excited after watching the efforts last night to go for a total and an over, but I'm going to go with the Sixers right now. I do like them to defend home court right here. It's a short line. Maybe I wait a little bit to see if Utah can push it down another half point maybe, but I'm okay to lay the 3. I'd prefer to be 2.5.
Man, you are not kidding. These guys take the 3. Yeah, these guys see the All-Star break. They are excited to eat some Chinese food and put their feet up on the couch, because yeah. I didn't think a lot of these guys have been pretty responsible in terms of, you know, not going out, not partying, and living the nightlife that they are accustomed to as NBA players. They are looking forward to just relaxing, hanging out. So I'm with you. I'm going to take the 76ers here as well. When we return, we will go through our Wednesday headlines, preview some of the NBA going on tonight. We have golf coming up in the next segment, baseball coming up in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to Sports Grid TV, Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys on the other side of break.